DJ Smith is with us, Ottawa Senators head coach. And DJ, first of all, thanks so much for stopping by. Before you came on, Justin was just telling us a story about how you tried to save him from Lou Lamoriello by offering him a disposable razor every day, saying, kid, Lou is going to get you. We heard it from Borny's side of things. Tell us how you tried to save our young co-host here once upon a time.
Well, it was the World Cup there, Babs was gone, and we had just me and Jimmy Hiller there and Lou, and I think we were in Halifax. And we got there in the morning, and everyone knows you freshly shave every morning with Lou. It's part of the plan. And Borny looked like he had about a one-day growth, maybe a little longer. And I told him in the morning maybe he should get a shave on. And I don't think he heard me, or he just went on with it. So by lunch, it looked like he picked up another half day of growth. I said, you might want to slap a razor on this before Lou gets you. I don't think he took the advice, and then Lou eventually got him about 4 o'clock that day. So it was pretty good.
Good teammate, DJ. You've always been a good teammate, whether you're on the ice or behind the bench. Now, we were just talking before he came on as well about how no matter, you know, what the time of year is this year for the Ottawa Senators, no matter what the game is, no matter what the opponent is, your team, and this is really a credit to you, and I know you're going to defer to the athletes here, but this is a team that's in more games than they're not. Like, this is still a very competitive Ottawa Senators team, despite what the record says.
Yeah, for sure it is. You know what? We have some really competitive guys. Our young guys are really competitive. They want to get better. You know, certainly throughout this rebuild, I mean, last year I think for 60 games they still had Stone and those guys. So it was just the tail end of the year. The kids got to play. So this year is a true rebuild of kids. And it's, you know, essentially their team going forward, you know, with surrounding with some great leadership. But, you know, and part of that is the Hainsies and the Boros and the Pajos. They come to play every day. They don't take days off, and they're helping with the kids. But it's easy when you got Tkachuk and Shabbat that show up and want to win every game, want to play a lot of minutes, are super competitive, and guys tend to follow. So it is fun.
Well, you have a lot of young people there in Ottawa, and I apologize, DJ, for being a young person and not having taken your advice better during my time in the same organization as you there. But so you have those young guys, and you're trying to motivate them every night of this season where, you know, playoffs are realistically not in the cards this year. How do you keep everyone motivated and going every day, and sort of what's unique about this year for you? Because I know it's a much different situation than you were in when you were in Toronto.
I think probably, you know, I went through it in Windsor where we finished dead last, and then we got Taylor Hall or second last, and we got Taylor Hall and Ryan Ellis and those guys. So I went through it, and there was a plan to get better. Same thing in Toronto. We finished dead last, and there was a plan to get better. And there's a plan here. There's a lot of good young kids. So coming into the year, you knew there's going to be tough times. You just don't know how, you know, when you're in the midst of a 6-game losing streak, you know, how it's going to feel. But the one thing is you got to stay upbeat, and you got to coach every game, you know, like you won the last one. So, you know, you come with a fresh attitude, and you've got to just make sure, for me anyways, that these young kids are getting better every day, and that our culture continues to get better, and hard work is one of the things behind it. I mean, I'm learning every day as well. You know, I'm adapting. Coming out of junior, I didn't use any analytics. Now I'm using a lot of them, and I think a lot of it is to help our players. Players want to have the puck, and you know, how do you get better? Not just from working, but have the puck a little bit more. They get a little more excited, so we're tinkering here and there. But it's fun to grow with these guys.
A casual hockey fan might not know the name Thomas Chabot. Other than playing 26 minutes a night, how important is he to this Ottawa Senators team, not just in the short term, but long term?
Well, when you got a player with as much ability as him that can skate, you know, make plays, and he's playing much better defensive late, you know, he's a guy that going forward you have to have. That can play against top lines and do all those things. So, you know, the things he can do offensively, he's really getting better defensively. And when he gets to that point, we're going to be able to turn the corner. And it's a hard thing for a young kid to play against the best players in the league because they're men, they're big, they're strong. But he's committed to doing it.
Always curious about second-generation hockey players. And this game right now has the luxury of having the Tkachuk family back in it in a profound way in Calgary. And in a profound way with your team as well. And I can recall in Dallas when you guys drafted Brady Tkachuk, and everyone's saying that's a home run pick. This is a, as Brian Brick would say, he's a skilled player, but he's also someone that shows up with a pick and a shovel and isn't shy to get a little bit dirty and a little bit nasty. But when you see Brady Tkachuk, you know, fighting veteran hockey players, what goes through the coach's mind?
You know what? It's funny. Coming into the year, I said I didn't really want Brady to fight. I wanted him to bang and crash, and you know, and I wasn't big on him getting hurt, maybe breaking a hand or something fighting. But he's so big, and he plays with so much energy that naturally he's going to get into a few here and there. And I think he actually got bigger since the start of the year. He was standing in the hall yesterday. I can't believe how big he is. He's got to be 6'4", you know, probably 225. You know, and he can certainly handle himself better than maybe even I thought. You know, and he has skill, and he can make plays, and he skates, and he does a lot of things. So, you know, going forward, he's a guy that shows up every day. Even if your team maybe doesn't have it, a couple hits, you know, he scores an ugly goal, yelling at the other team. They drag you into the battle, and he's a guy that's going to help us turn this thing around.
What did you think of his exchange with Blake Wheeler over the weekend?
You know what? I thought it was good of Wheeler to come in there. Brady hit whoever that was there, and the guy kind of turned. I don't think he meant for it to be from the side. The guy kind of turned at the last second, and, you know, Wheeler, being the captain, came over and kind of pushed him, and you know, they fought. But, you know, that's what good leadership does, and Brady certainly doesn't shy away.
Well, along that same thread, I think I remember you making some commentary to the fact that you yourself were not afraid to fight when you played, whereas I was absolutely terrified. So I do want to ask about what you think the value of physical play and toughness is in the NHL today. Just forecasting what a future Ottawa Senators team would look like, you know, where do you place? How much value does it have today? How essential is it?
Well, I don't know if it's essential so much for the fighting. I mean, there's very few fights anymore. But what I do believe it truly is there's still intimidation in the game. And when you have big, strong guys that are willing to hit people, people still get shy. And people still don't want to go to the front of the net and get cross-checked. People don't want to get run over, you know, going back for pucks. You know, and when you got people that are big and strong and they bang into people, I know that to win the whole thing, you got to win 16 games in a short amount of time, and big, strong guys that keep banging and keep taking pieces of people. Ultimately, injuries are a big part of this thing. And, you know, if you got soldiers that can keep marching on, not everyone can be, you certainly need to, you know, to score goals and have skill in that. But if you look at the St. Louis Blues model, they just kept trucking on, banging on people, and eventually they outlasted the whole league. So I think there's still, especially in the playoffs, maybe not so much the regular season, but I think in the playoffs there still is a huge role for that physicality, for checking, hitting, you know, big, strong defensemen. It's tough to get to the net. There's a reason Chara is still playing this long.
With DJ Smith, head coach of the Ottawa Senators, tomorrow his Sens face off against the Maple Leafs on Hockey Night in Canada. DJ, I want to ask you about a game in January. January 18th specifically, your Ottawa Senators beat the Calgary Flames by a final score of 5-2. To kick off the game, Wes McCauley kicks, I think it's Anisimov and Lindholm out and puts the Tkachuk boys in. Now, we all had a good laugh about it. It's fun. We all know Wes McCauley. We all love Wes McCauley, and he's one of the more creative officials and outgoing officials and entertaining officials that the game has ever seen. And, you know, I get called the enemy of fun when I bring this up, but I remember going on the radio on that Monday and saying, sure, it was fun, great time, we all had a laugh, it's always going to be in the highlights, that's wonderful. And I said, if I'm Jeff Warden, if I'm DJ Smith, I'm saying to myself, what, are you going to tell me who I'm putting out on the power play next? Like, was there, like, how did the coach react to that, DJ, when you see McCauley saying, no, I know you set your lineup and your starting lineup here, but I'm going to make the executive decision. We want the Tkachuk boys taking the draw. What went through your mind? And please answer honestly.
Do you know what? I loved it. To be honest, I'm big on selling the game and moments like that for two brothers. That his dad especially has been a big part of the NHL. I have no issue with it. I mean, you know, it's 82 games. It's one time. You know, if it's every night in something like that, you know, you'd say, okay, I'm coaching my team, let me coach it. But for me, I had no issues with it. I think it was you know, a fun thing. And I don't know how Jeff felt, but I know for myself, I think it was great for Brady.
Did you say anything to Wes after? Did he say anything to you?
No. You know what, Wes? I really like Wes as sure, a referee in our league. He tells you the truth. You know, if he misses a call, he says it. You know, he's an no BS guy. The players like him. He gives respect, but he also demands it as well. You know, I usually he comes over and just says hi before the game. But I really like the way he interacts with the players, and I think there is room to sell our game that way.
DJ, I had the privilege of also playing for Jack Capuano and Davis Payne there during my playing days, so I have some experience with those two guys. You have the most personable bench, I think, in the NHL right now. Maybe you could just speak a little bit to what the energy and aura is like around your team right now that sort of knows where you sit in the league but has a direction. You guys have your big personalities, but you have a lot of new players in the team. What the dressing room and feel is like on a daily basis?
I can tell you it's pretty loose. We have a lot of fun. Our coaching staff, I would say, has to have the most fun in the National Hockey League. We're constantly kind of giving it to each other. Davis and Jack both are guys that really love their craft. Their work is done. They do it at home. They're super prepared. And then you got Bob Jones, who's my other assistant, who was in the OHL for 22 years, that loves to joke around. We've got I think 82 games in a league sometimes is long. We carve each other in front of the players. We kind of get on each other. I think it's a perfect dynamic for a team that's going through this. You have to be able to laugh. You have to be able to turn the page, and those guys have certainly helped.
Facing off against the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow on Hockey Night in Canada. Of course, you know many of the players on the other side, and I know you're not going to betray any state secrets. Wouldn't expect you to, but as you head into a game against the Toronto Maple Leafs on a Saturday night, and we all know what that means for Hockey Night in Canada, what goes through the coach's mind? What do you look for tomorrow? What are your expectations for tomorrow?
Well, I've said to people, it's a free playoff game for us. I mean, it's free experience to play against a team that's, you know, starving for points, that's fighting to get in the playoffs, that has as many good players as they do, that's 5 years ahead of, 4 years ahead of where we are, essentially, where they were dead last in the National Hockey League 5 years ago. And give our players and our young players especially this kind of experience, it's outstanding. We're going to do everything we can to win the game, but we're going to make sure, our guys get in situations so that when we do get in the situation where we're knocking on the playoffs, that we're more accustomed to playing those kind of games.
Yeah, I am curious about that, too. When you play against a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs in that big stage on a Saturday night and you find yourself in a situation where you say perhaps – this one player gives us an advantage here, but you know what? Drake Batherson could really use an experience in this situation, this big type of – how do you balance that? Like, this is, like you mentioned, the rebuilding year. I know coaches are competitive, players are competitive. You want wins. How do you balance that out with development? Like, do you find yourself in a situation where you say, for the win, this is the right decision, but for development, this is the better decision?
Well, it's hard because there's also other players on the team that are fighting for their lives and fighting to stay in the league and fighting to get good contracts. So as a coach, you can't just give free ice time away. You have to make it super competitive. You want to put your young players in all the situations possible, but it can't be blatantly obvious that someone's better than that player. You still have to coach your team and coach everyone, not just the kids. So, you want a healthy blend of older guys and younger guys kind of together so that they can go through the experience and everyone kind of feels important. And I think that's the hard part of finding that right amount of ice time, right amount of experience without overdoing it and just giving ice time away. Because when you do that, I don't believe that's true development. You have to earn everything in the NHL. It's never going to be given to you from the first day you get here to the last time, whether you're, in your late 30s, or 40s, and you're playing, you've got to fight for every shift and every opportunity.
Before we let you go, quick, can we get a couple of thoughts from you on Mark Borowiecki? We all saw the injury. That's gotta hurt.
Yeah, it does. You know what? He's an outstanding guy. He works so hard off the ice. He plays so hard during the games. It's going to hurt us leadership-wise. It looks like it's a little bit better than we originally thought, but he will be out some time. It'll hurt us in the development side and in the intensity side. But like I said, I got Brady playing here every night, and he'll pick some of that slack up.
We don't doubt that for a second. DJ, you're always a treat. Thanks so much for stopping by today. Good luck against Toronto tomorrow night.
All right. Thanks, guys. Borny, get a shave on.
There you go.
Thanks, buddy.